Is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
We're so glad to be with you again, and we can say Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's wonderful to know him. And I've had many years of my life to be with him and to know that he blesses me over and over and over again. And I tell people I'm a satisfied customer. I am just so happy. And he gives me joy. He gives me peace, satisfaction, contentment, helps me with my problems. I can go to him in prayer. And boy, I have his holy word, the authorized King James Bible. And that's what our program is about. The program is we have the Word of God today. It's the Bible that's the universal Bible, 5 billion copies around the world. And people can get a hold of it anywhere in the world, and it's being preached on radio and television worldwide in our time. And we thank God, and the Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. Today, much of evangelicalism, they are teaching what is called deism. They don't call it that, but deism is that God, he made the world, then he took off and left it alone, left it to itself. But let me tell you that he still intervenes in this world, and he is moving things. They're moving to the culmination of history when Jesus will set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, Israel, and rule over the planet Earth. And it's moving that direction very, very rapidly. And so we can praise God and thank him for that. But today I want to start off with when Jesus was on the earth, and I went to a little town where he actually grew up, and it says in the book of Luke chapter 4 and verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Now, he went in the power of the Holy Spirit, and makes a point we believe today that when Jesus left, he gave us the Holy Spirit, and we can do things through the power of his Holy Spirit who is with us. It says he went to Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Now, he became famous immediately because of the incredible miracles he began to do that only Almighty God could do. And it says, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth. Now, he comes in Galilee. They honor him and praise him. But when he comes to his hometown of Nazareth, where he grew up, they knew him as the carpenter's son, where he had been brought up. And as this custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So he was very faithful in attending the synagogue where they went in those days. And Jesus, of course, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and today we go to the church because Jesus has set up the church, and he set it up, and so we go to that and support it today. He stood up to read, and there was delivered unto him the book. That is, he got a Bible out. He got the book out, and he read the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And so he reads this, and then he says it's fulfilled in their ears in that day. Now, he did everything through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have that power with us. He promised us when he sent us into the whole world, he said, the Holy Spirit, he'll go with you and be with you forever. And he is the Spirit of truth. And so when we witness for Jesus, the Holy Spirit is speaking to people and saying, as we witness and as we preach the gospel, the Spirit of God is saying in their heart, that is the truth. For he has anointed me to preach. So he has sent him to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, what is the gospel? Well, according to 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel is that he came to die for our sins. And Jesus said, Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. And that is, he paid for all of our sins. That is the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, some religion teaches when you die away, the angel's going to beat you for the sins that you committed. But the Bible says when Jesus died, he says he died for our sins. I talk to people and ask them, why did Jesus die? And they say, well, he died for our sins and died for the sins of the world and died to open heaven's door, which is true, but they don't realize that the meaning of what they have just said. He was punished in our place. The whole New Testament says this from in the whole Bible from cover to cover. Christ died for our sin. He was punished in our place. That's why the Bible says he is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The Bible says he will confirm you blameless unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I meet Jesus, there will be no record that I've ever sinned. The Bible says, Paul says, who had killed and tortured Christians, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world and he died for our sins, and he paid it all. So our sins are paid for, and we will never meet them again. I remember one time, I talked to a priest one time, and we had a nice conversation, and I was pointing this out to him. But if anybody reads the New Testament, they find out all the way through the New Testament, all the way through the Bible, Jesus forgives sins. That's what he came for. And the gospel is he paid for our sin. He died for our sins. According to the scripture, he was buried and rose from the dead. Now, what scripture teaches that? Well, Isaiah 53, it just says it over and over and over again, that he paid for our sins. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was bruised for our chastisement. And with his stripes, we are healed, quoting from Isaiah. But the whole Bible says that. King David said, blessed is the man to whom God doth not impute iniquity. He's saying, blessed is the person whom God does not count sin against them. I'll tell you something, that is the most blessed thought that anybody could ever possibly have. And Jesus says, when the apostles were doing miracles, he says, don't rejoice about that. He says, rejoice because your name is written in heaven. My name is written in heaven, and I will never face my sin. And if you repent, now, God wants you to repent. You're saying, I'm willing to turn from my old wicked and sinful life, and I accept Jesus as Lord. That means he's the boss. I get off the throne of my life, and I quit telling myself what to do, and he tells me what to do through his word, the Bible. So it says here, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is because he anointed me to preach the gospel. So Jesus preached the gospel. That's what we're doing. We just did right now to the poor. Now, that's an evidence. He doesn't just go to the rich. He goes to the poor. There's not money involved. So much of, man, when it comes to medicine, when it comes to politics, when it comes to religion, it's just wrapped up in money. And we need money, but the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, I got to say this because, you know, don't let the media deceive you. You cannot trust them. They just come out, they haven't found anything on the President of the United States. And the reason all that propaganda about Russia, there is not one shred of evidence of that. And they have proved that. And the media did that because they're in collusion with some very, very wealthy people. The middle class is getting poorer and poorer, and a small group of people is getting extremely wealthy. And because of the trade deals, Trump has stopped that, and they don't like it, and they control the media. And so they put hate President Trump propaganda in the media. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with racism and all the rest of it. They accuse of or collusion with Russia, any of it. There's not a shred of evidence of that is just connected with big money, that they don't like what the president's doing. I like it. I think he's doing a fantastic job, and I'll pray for him. Now it says, he has sent me to heal what Jesus came. He has anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Let me break this down a little bit. First of all, he preaches the gospel. That's our job today. A preacher's job is to preach the gospel. Jesus has paid for all of your sin. If you repent, that's willing to turn from your sin and receive him as God and Lord of your life, you have eternal life. What do you do to do that? The dying thief says, "My Lord and my God," to Jesus. Thomas says, "My Lord and my God," to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Blessed are they that have not seen and believed." And when you do that and you mean it from your heart and you repent, you're willing to turn and your deeds have showed it, he will help you to live a godly life. He will forgive you of all your sins and you will meet God with great joy. That's the Bible. You know, some of you have been told a load of garbage. If you would start reading the New Testament, if you would start reading the Bible, there'd be a lot of people changing their church membership. I mean when it comes to Protestantism, Catholicism, Judaism, you name it. And some Baptists, if you would read the New Testament and even read the Old Testament, you would change your faith, because most of these religions have so changed it. The scribes in these religions, they don't teach what the Bible said. And so why don't you find for yourself? God gave you a book so you could see what it says. You get in there and start in the Gospel of John and read each chapter two or three times and then read through John, then read through the New Testament, then read through the whole Bible. You know, what the New Testament is based on Moses and the prophets, and Christianity, biblical Christianity, is based on that. You know, today some of you think, well, Christians did all that stuff. Yeah, it wasn't Christianity. It was some kind of a fake cult that did all that killing and so on. Jesus just is kind and compassionate and forgiving. And he wants you to repent of your sins, and then he will forgive you. Now, it says here, he's going to preach the gospel to the poor. And then it says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If you're brokenhearted today and you lost all hope and you're in a mess, maybe you're an alcoholic or a drug addict, if you want to get over it, if you're through with that type of lifestyle, surrender your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I'm telling you that there are literally millions of people that have done this, and they have got off of all of that stuff. He works. He's the living God. And it says to preach deliverance to the captives. That is, Jesus says that if you are involved in sin and you can't get away with it, you're a slave to that sin. And Jesus came to give you freedom from your slavery to whatever it is, whether it's drugs or alcohol or pornography, or you can go down the list, whatever it is, he will free you from it. He will forgive you of it, and you will meet him with great joy. He's someone that wants to give you joy and peace if you've had enough of trouble. I live in a neighborhood, and I'm telling you, all around in that neighborhood, I see people, they're addicted to drugs, they're in fornication, adultery, and every sin, and in misery. I just think, oh my lands, what a mess. Well, if you're tired of the mess, you know why Jesus can deliver you. And I could see people around me that they got tired of it and they accepted Christ and they're free from it. And they've been free from all of that stuff for years. And he's given them peace and joy and happiness because he's the living God. We're not serving somebody just from history. We are serving the living God. Jesus Christ is alive and well today. And says recovery of sight to the blind. That is spiritually blind. Today people are following all kinds of religion. It's just they have no idea. Jesus calls them, they're following people that Jesus says, if you follow them, you'll fall. They're going to fall in the ditch and you'll fall in with them. Spiritually blind. I don't know what it's all about. Why we're here, where we're going, how to be right with God. To be right with God, Jesus is God. He came. He died in our place. You accept him as your God. You repent of your sins. You are given eternal life and forgiveness of sins. And he has given you a book, the King James Bible, which he has said to himself is the word of God. Every scripture verse, even the corrupt Bibles, point to the King James Bible as the word of God, like a laser beam. And you read it. God gave you a book so you could read it and you could tell who's a phony and who's not. The whole world is full of phonies. And I mean, they're there in politics. They're there in medicine. They're there in religion. And they're lying to you and they're deceived and they're deceiving people. You don't have to be deceived. You just get your Bible out. Get a King James Bible out. Say, why do you know it's the King James? Because God says, I've honored my word above all my name. We have had president after president in the United States that have praised it. George Washington, when he was elected, he bowed down and kissed it. And it's been honored. These silly, ridiculous people that correct the King James, do you ever hear them correcting Shakespeare? Can you imagine some ignoramus correcting Shakespeare? Well, he shouldn't have said it like that. He got his grammar wrong. The greatest book that was ever written, the book that was outsold any book that was ever written in the history of the world, that was honored by the college presidents, honored by presidents of countries, that was honored by God, that every revival came from. And by the way, in the Old Testament, they had a special priestly class. It was called the Levites. Today, we do not have a priestly class, for the Bible says that when we get saved, when we're born again, we're a kingdom of priests. And that is, the people that read this book every day, they believe the King James is the word of God, and they believed it long even before this century. I was reading a book by Dr. Seitler of Greenville, South Carolina, and he proves in this book, and he documents it, that Christians and leading Bible teachers and believers believed the King James was the perfect word of God long before this century. It is the word of God. It's true. And you got this book. You have this book. Read it, and you'll know the truth. If you're a Roman Catholic, why don't you read it? It's written by the apostles of Christ. If you're Jewish, why don't you read what the prophets said? Because they talked about Jesus. The Christianity of Jesus is based on Moses and the prophets. Moses said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You know, you had to bring an animal sacrifice to Jerusalem and have that sacrifice made at the temple in Jerusalem. And God destroyed the temple when Jesus died because he is the one eternal sacrifice that is paid for sins. When they had the offering of animals, it could never take away sin, but it was a picture. But Jesus, when he died 2,000 years ago, it says, by one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. That is, he made us perfect in God's sight, those that are saved forever and ever, when he died 2,000 years ago. And he demonstrated he was God. He says, if you don't believe me for any other works, believe me for what I did. Everywhere he went, he raised the dead, healed the sick, opened blind eyes. Now he said, to set at liberty them which are bruised, and he can still do it today, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, whatever that means, right now while you're listening, it's your time. You want to know God, why don't you try Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ? I am telling you, I tried him when I was young, and I had a lifetime of experience to know that he is the true God. In answer to prayer, personally give me peace, personally give me joy, personally healing my body, personally taking care of me when I didn't have any money taking care of me. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And I'm not the only one. Millions of people. How do you think that in the Middle East there, when some of these Muslims and they're crucifying Christians and they're killing them and so on, and they say, will you give up Jesus? And they won't do it. Why? Because they met the living God, and they'd rather be put to death than give him up. Because they know that they met the God, the creator of the universe. They know that they met the Lord Jesus Christ, the real God. And the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I wondered, when my mother died, I thought, what would it be like? And I went to her funeral, and I thought, yes, she is more alive than she has ever been. Now she is alive with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when I go there, it's not going to be St. Peter or Blessed Mary or Blessed Joseph. It's going to open the gates of heaven for me. It's going to be Jesus, and he's going to open the gate of heaven for me, and he's going to welcome me in. And if you accept him, he will welcome you. And you know, if you confess him now as your Lord and your Savior and your God, I'll tell you, one day he will confess you before the angels of heaven, and he will confess you before the Father in heaven. Praise the Lord. And we have the Bible today. We have it in the King James Bible. That's what this is all about. You know what? You look at the internet that we have, and we have these great books that are written that give the evidence of the King James from every way you look at it. Which Bible would Jesus use? You ought to read that. Or read the book by Floyd Nolan Jones. Or read Correct in the King James that I wrote. It has what leading fundamentalists say about the King James Bible, like D.L. Moody and Spurgeon and so on. They got rid of the Greek in their schools, then went to the King James. They accepted it. Dr. Alfred Martin, who taught me at Moody Bible Institute years ago, what he says about it. We have God's word, absolutely perfect. James says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. And Jesus said three times, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Matthew 24, 35, and two other gospels. I want to tell you something. The Bible says that Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. He runs those stars within a fraction of a second, and they tell time by Greenwich, England, and those stars are moving, and Jesus does that. You think that he can do that and control those stars and he can't give us a book? I'll tell you, he certainly did give us a book, and we have it today. And I tell you, when I read this book, it gives me joy, it gives me peace. You want an experience with God, you just read this book, you get an experience. Man, I'm telling you, I get an experience of heaven in my soul. I get an experience of peace. I get an experience of joy. I get an experience of having Jesus talk to me personally in the authorized King James Bible. Well, God bless you. I don't know how many times I'm going to be on, because I'm getting to the age where the Lord could take me anytime. And brother, he could take you anytime, no matter what age you are. And you want to be ready. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is, you're willing to repent and call on the name of the Lord Jesus, recognizing that he has a right to control your life, and call him, accept him as Lord and Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then read a King James Bible and do what it says. That's his words. And then find a Bible-believing church. And there's a lot of churches like that. And there's Baptist churches all over the world that believe exactly what I've been telling you, everywhere you go in the world. So, get baptized and show you mean it. And when you get baptized, that's saying you're dying. It's showing in the public testimony, you're dying to the old life of sin and you're rising to a new life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and start living for him, witness for him, and confess him as your personal Lord and Savior. Well, it's so good to be with you once again. And I pray that God will just fill your life with all the fantastic blessings that he has given me all my life. God bless you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.